Welcome back to The Basement Binge, and if you're new here, welcome. This is a review of Tenet, the 2020 sci-fi action thriller written and directed by Christopher Nolan, out in theaters currently. Now, if you're new to The Basement Binge, just so you know, again, my name is Harrison. Normally, there's two other individuals here with me, two of my friends, Kate and Kelton, who are actually brothers. But with scheduling conflicts and other things and just the difficulty of getting together, it's just me today. So it's going to be... I'm sorry if you're new here. You're missing out on a lot of the pizzazz that we normally have. The dynamics of having three people trying to talk about a movie is a lot different than just one. So it's just me sharing my thoughts today. It's going to be really, really different, really unique. But I'm excited. This is my second attempt at it, actually. About a week ago, we saw the movie, and the day after or the day of, I don't remember. I think the day after. I recorded an episode on my own, and I wasn't satisfied with anything that I had to say in editing it, and I realized it was such a boring episode. I was like, man, if I was listening to this, I'd feel cheated for my time because it was just so bleh. So I decided to try again. This is my second attempt. Hopefully, it's going to be a lot better for you guys. Anyway, this is Basement Binge. So let's dive into Tenet, a 2020 sci-fi action thriller written and directed by Christopher Nolan, starring John David Washington as the protagonist, Robert Pattinson as Neil, and Elizabeth Debicki as Kat. Armed with only one word, Tenet, and fighting for the survival of the entire world, a protagonist journeys through a twilight world of international espionage on a mission that will unfold in something beyond real time. Let's listen to the trailer.
All I have for you is a word. Tenet. It'll open the right doors. Some of the wrong ones, too. Use it carefully.
To do what I do, I need some idea of the threat we face.
As I understand it, we're trying to prevent World War III.
I'm not saying Armageddon here.
No. Something worse.
I gather you have an interest in a certain Russian national.
Mike, bring me in.
You really want to know?
He can communicate with the future.
Time travel?
No. Inversion.
Aim it and pull the trigger. You're not shooting the bullet. You're catching it.
Whoa. I've seen too much. Well, we'll try and keep up.
Your duty transcends national interests. This is about survival.
It seems bold.
Bold, I'm fine with. I thought you were gonna say nuts.
This is where our worlds collide.
How would you like to die?
Old.
You chose the wrong profession.
What'll happen here?
Hasn't happened yet.
There are people in the future who need us. We need Tenet.
We need to save them here and now.
This reversing the flow of time doesn't us being here now mean it never happened.
You want to crash a plane,
but not from the air. No, it's so dramatic.
Well, how big a plane?
That part is a little dramatic.
After that incredible trailer, listening to it, let's immediately jump into what we call our two cents here at The Basement Binge. Because this is such a new movie, we're going to kind of change a little bit where we're going to keep the spoilers away for a lot longer than we normally do. At the beginning of every podcast, we always have our two cents, which is 2 minutes of uninterrupted time where we get to give our knee-jerk reaction to the movie without the other two people interrupting us. Obviously, that's a lot different when it's me on my own. But either way, we keep it spoiler-free. This is a spoiler-free review. I will let you know when there are going to be spoilers so you don't have this movie ruined for you at all, because you definitely don't want that. The marketing has done a pretty good job at keeping it a secret. I'd hate for me to ruin it for you. So anyway, 2 cents. Here we go. I don't have 2 minutes of time here because it's just me on my own. And I actually wanted to talk a little bit about what it was like for me and why I'm re-recording this the second time. Because after seeing the movie, I saw that there were kind of two camps, if you will, about what people thought about this movie. For the most part, I think people enjoyed it to some extent. People were excited to go back to the theater. They appreciate Christopher Nolan's ambition, whatever. Just kind of like a general idea about it. But the two camps kind of seem to be that, oh, it's not good because there isn't a lot of emotional depth. It's Christopher Nolan at his worst. It's an action movie, and that's it. Like, there's no emotion. The villain isn't good. Like, so on and so forth. And then the other one is it's the greatest movie ever, and that those people just aren't using their brain and whatever. And I kind of saw myself like divided by both camps, kind of in the middle, seeing and understanding both sides of it and not really understanding which one I fell into, if any, kind of which ideas I supported more. And so when it came to the actual review, it was just like really neutral and really generic and like it's such a waste of time, honestly, because there was nothing exciting about it. And I hope for every listener returning or new that the reviews that we provide, that I put my time and creativity into, is something that you value and is worthwhile to you. I mean, whether you agree with me or not, that you feel the time you spent listening to me was valuable. And so I wanted to try it again because I gave myself some time on my own to think about it and come up with my own opinions. So to my actual opinions, as subjective as they are, and I kind of want to talk about that super quick before I get to my opinion, because I feel like I view and experience movies in a very unique way, and maybe I'm a little prideful in saying that, but sometimes when I read people's reviews or I talk to people about movies, I feel like people are always trying to compare a Jackson Pollock painting. If you don't know what that is a guy who does like the crazy abstract, like just colors going everywhere where it's not really like an image or an illustration. Anyway, Jackson Pollock, like they try and compare something like that to like, I don't know, like the Mona Lisa, something, two totally polar opposites of the spectrum when it comes to paintings and art, and both incredible in their own respects. And especially when I saw people say like, there's no emotion. I like, sure, that's true. And we can talk about that in a second, but like, I didn't go to the theater and pay money for this ticket, and I didn't get excited about this movie because I was expecting like an Oscar-worthy drama. I wasn't expecting like fleshed-out emotion, and maybe I'm totally just misunderstanding what they're saying, but like, I always say this as a joke, but I genuinely mean it. If you go to a Transformers movie and your expectations are anything higher than hearing the Transformer noise and listening to Optimus Prime say something intense that makes you want to fall him off a cliff, you've got the wrong intentions going into the movie. And I feel like it applies here as well. Like, I don't want to say this boastfully because I'm probably not the only one who views it this way, but when I go into a movie, I'm able to shift my appreciation of it depending on what type of movie it is and the intent behind it. And I shouldn't get caught up on that idea, but of course emotion is important in every character. But like, I definitely felt the emotion in each character. But beyond that, that's not why I went to go see the movie. I went to go see the movie because I was excited about a Christopher Nolan movie. I was excited to be back in the theater. I was excited to see an intense blockbuster with really great action and an interesting idea and an incredible score. And that's what I got. So this was a really like weird 2 cents that I hope I provided some type of idea. I just, for those going to see it, I hope that you can just have the right mindset when you go see it, because it's great if you do. It's so enjoyable. Like, I was on the edge of my seat. I was smiling from ear to ear like a little kid. Like, I was just having the time of my life being back in the theater with my friends and family and enjoying like an intense action movie with great acting, great characters, an incredible concept, and really, really high quality filmmaking. And it was enjoyable for me. And anyway, I just, for those people who maybe haven't seen this movie yet or have and they feel themselves being affected by those negative reviews, it's okay to like this movie. If you were like me, I felt guilty for liking it because it isn't what the other people are trying to make it. Anyway, that's enough of the 2 cents. I enjoyed it. I didn't get to that. My 2 cents is that I really enjoyed it. It's a high quality, well-made, intense action movie with great sci-fi thriller aspects of it, with really great filmmaking and great performances. And I want to say one other thing. Back to the Jackson Pollock idea. Something that made me change my opinion about him, because I always thought his art was like really dumb and like, why would anyone value this? It was something that changed it is when I understood the intention and the motivations behind Jackson Pollock as a painter and as an artist. And understanding him and his intentions in making what he did made me able to appreciate his work in a different way than anything else. And I think that you can have the same understanding when you go to see this movie. Anyway, that's enough of 2 cents, but it's way longer than 2 minutes. Hopefully that helps some people who felt kind of trapped like I did. Anyway, on to Pick Your Poison. I'm rambling at this point, saying the same thing over and over again. Pick Your Poison. Here at the Basement Binge, this is our personal rating scale. And instead of having like 5 stars or whatever rating scale you want to get, we made up one based off how we would treat this movie, going forward after seeing it the one time. So first rating, lowest score, is really straightforward. Never watch it again. Self-explanatory. Right above that is a stream. And what that is that it's on a streaming service that you're already subscribed to. There's no additional cost to it. And you're looking for something to watch, you'd be willing to throw it on when you're kind of like, you don't really have anything in mind and you just see it's available. You're browsing, whatever, you'd click on it. So if you kind of get the feel of the intentions of rewatching it. Above that is a rent. Pay a few bucks, you'd be willing to see it again. And then, of course, at the top of the list is to own it. You'd be pay the full price, Blu-ray, digital, however you want to own it, so you could watch it as many times as you want. And for me, it's definitely a buy. One, because I love Christopher Nolan as a director. I love all his movies, but because I'm so excited to see this movie again. And not because like I didn't understand it or didn't enjoy it, but like as soon as the movie ended, I was like, oh my gosh, that was so good. And the way the movie works, like all Christopher Nolan movies, the ending reveals so much that like, oh, I want to watch it again so that I can have that perspective and enjoy it with that additional information. I was excited to see it again, not just like, oh, what the heck? Like when I say I want to need to see it again in theaters, it was like an excited thing, a positive thing. But I also just want to talk about all the reasons that I think it's great, all the reasons I love it, and that I think it deserves praise kind of individually as they are. First off is Ludwig Göransson's score. I hope I said his name right. Is so great. I've loved him as a composer for a long time, especially The Mandalorian. I love his work in that series, and so I was excited that he was connected to a Christopher Nolan movie, because for so long it's been Hans Zimmer, who's incredible. Don't get me wrong, I love his work, and I feel I love movie scores. Like, I have a playlist on Spotify of movie scores that I just listen to all the time, and this definitely fits the criteria to be in that playlist. I've been listening to this soundtrack a lot, but on top of that, in the movie, it's just incredible. Like it's so intense and powerful. I don't know. I'll love his score. When you see the movie, you'll understand. I already talked about this. The action is top notch. It's no secret that Christopher Nolan loves the James Bond movies, and he loves the spy genre. And his intent in this was trying to make a movie that brought about the same feeling that he had as a kid watching the James Bond movie for the first time. And in some way, I really kind of felt that, not specifically with James Bond, but like with action and spy movies, because I want to keep this spoiler free, but if you know anything about this movie, there's a lot of like backwards and forwards movement with time and things going backwards and forwards. That dynamic of it changed action so much that it was like seeing action for the first time. Like, it was so exciting because there was a new, different dynamic to it. And it was really well made action, and it's shot well and edited well and performed really, really well. And there was a lot of work from the stunt workers and actors in doing this action, you know, them doing things backwards so that when the clip is reversed and played in reverse, that it's now forward. Like, it really is intense, the work that went in to provide great action. And it was a ton of fun to watch. It was exciting. It felt fresh. And on that note as well, the concept behind it reminded me of the first time I saw a Christopher Nolan movie. Like I said, I love Christopher Nolan. I've owned almost all of his movies. I've seen them so many times, and like, the nuance of them, that's not the right word. I've seen his movies so many times that the edge has slipped, so to speak. Like, The Prestige, Inception, Interstellar, like there's so much that you don't understand. The mystery is gone. And so you enjoy it in a different way than you do the first time. Of course, it reminds me of seeing a Christopher Nolan movie for the first time because I'm seeing a Christopher Nolan movie for the first time. But like it was a positive thing to be so confused for so long because like I miss that because I love his movies and the way they twist, but I know how they are. So I haven't been able to experience that in a long time. And that was a ton of fun for me, especially in the theaters. The actors are great. I love a good heist spy movie. And this definitely fits the boot for that. Nolan's dedication to practical effects are incredible. And the way they pay off in this movie is incredible. There's so many great moments of incredible practical effects that we'll kind of get to more. You know what? Why not? This is just kind of blended together. I should have shared these earlier. So I guess binge points are kind of being thrown into pick your poison here. Spoiler-free binge points, we'll call them. So binge points, what they are here at the Basement Binge, just Easter eggs, details, things about the movie that we want to talk about kind of individually on their own and why we did or did not like him or fun things to notice. So I guess these are my spoiler ones, spoiler-free ones I'm throwing in here with pick your poison. But yeah, so something about this movie has less than 280 visual effects shots, meaning like CGI. So for comparison, other Christopher Nolan movies, The Dark Knight has 650, The Dark Knight Rises has 450, and Dunkirk has 425. So Dunkirk, which is already a pretty practical effect movie, this movie has significantly less. And when you see the movie and understand it, it's like, what? Are you serious? And I want to keep this spoiler free. Again, we all know that the nature of the movie has things moving backwards and forward in time and people manipulating things backwards and forwards. And you watch things like a car or a person moving backwards while everyone else is moving forward or the other way around. And you start to realize that it required somebody to move backwards while everyone else was moving forward so that when the clip was played, and everyone else is backwards, they're moving forward. And like there was a few moments when I watched, it was like, wow, like everyone involved in this put in a lot of work so that these things could be captured practically, and so you could feel the practical like reality of it, and it adds to the intensity, and it's great. You know, I've talked about this before. I love Nolan's love of the large format film and his dedication to that. It's great. The opening scene is incredible. The prologue, if you saw that in theaters, it showed on some IMAX previews in some places. Like, I remember seeing it at The Rise of Skywalker. It's incredible to watch. I love seeing that. The cinematography in this movie is just beautiful to look at. Set designs and production design are incredible and feel so intense and really incredible. Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of throwing this all together, but I just want to say that, like, it's been less than a week. Initially, I kind of felt guilty for enjoying this movie so much and felt like I should be hard on it because of maybe the lack of the emotion. And that seems to be the biggest complaint that people have is, like, oh, the villain's motivations are really stupid. Like, it's not a good fleshed-out villain. He's not a good villain. And that seems to be, like, a common thing talked about in movies that I've never really understood. Like, what does and doesn't make a good villain? To me, I felt threatened by the villain. I was like afraid of him, and that made him a good villain for me. Whether his motives are fleshed out or not, like it was enough because I felt like Christopher Nolan was trying to make a James Bond movie, and it's like the most James Bondy villain ever. Like he's evil for evil's sake, and his motivations are that he's evil. Like that's really like silly when you say it that way, but he feels imposing while you're watching the film and scary and kind of like almost unstoppable. No, I wouldn't say that quite that far, but very imposing. And the emotion of the characters, like, I really felt, and I'll get more into this later in Fall In once we've already dropped the spoiler wall, but, like, the relationship, especially between Neil and the protagonist, John David Washington's and Robert Pattinson's characters, like, I really felt that friendship and that connectivity that they have. And so I definitely felt that the emotion was there, you know, beyond what people say. So if you like this movie, it's okay. I liked it, too. I don't know why I'm defending it. This is maybe just cathartic for myself where I felt a little guilty for enjoying it. I hope I get to see it again. If you get to go see it, be safe, wear a mask, you know, protect yourself and others around you. Enjoy it carefully. But go have a good time watching the movie. It's good to be back in the theaters enjoying an intense blockbuster that's just a ton of fun and is a big blockbuster movie. I really, really enjoyed. So that's the end of the spoiler wall. That means that spoilers will be coming. So if you have not seen this movie, definitely pause it. It's not worth it having spoiled by some amateur movie reviewer like me when the marketing has done such a good job keeping it a secret. Stop listening if you have not seen this movie. If you have, keep listening. Let's kind of get into the spoilers. Here we go. Continuing with the binge points. You know, actually, I kind of already talked about them. This is the last one that I loved, the binge points. The movie reaches, and to quote Kelton, a member of the Basement Binge who's not here, right after the movie ended, it reached a whole nother level when the red team and the blue team started moving in together and one of them was inverted. And it is so true. Like, they're kind of, you get excited when you're understanding the mechanics of inversion, and then you see, like, oh, like, this is going to happen, and this person was in this place because of inversion. And, like, you kind of, like, catch the concept, and you feel like you're maybe a little bit ahead of the curve in the twist because it's easy to understand. And all of a sudden, it just, like, takes it up 10 notches, like, in a way that, like, as far as, like, production and being able to film, I did not understand that it would get to that point just because of the limitations I created in my head about what wasn't and wasn't possible about filming this inverted nature. And so it was just, like, so exciting, the level they reached, and the action was so intense. And also, like, the Nolan cross-cut that you get there is so good, and I love it there at that moment. So super intense. Anyway, that's enough of binge points. Let's get to the best segment at the Basement Binge. Fall In. This, if you're new here, is where we talk about the messages or meanings that we take away from a film. It all started with my film professor, where he talked about how every movie has emotion to it. I don't know why I keep going back to that word, but every movie has a theme or a message, to kind of use layman terms. You know, there's an idea that you can pull from it. There's an understanding about yourself, about the world around you, about your choices, that can come from all forms of art, and especially story, but also just with the theory, I think I already said this, he called it the theory of film, my professor did, with the ability that the mechanics and techniques of film can do, can be able to affect your understanding and your mindset in a positive way, and how, as moviegoers, we should be more aware of that, and we should take more control of that, and shouldn't allow ourselves to just be passively influenced by these mechanics of story and filmmaking. Anyway, so to take it into a positive way, at the end of every episode, we talk about things we take away. Wow, this is kind of... this is why I have those other two here, because they keep me on track. On my own, I ramble. So, Fall In. There was one moment that really, really touched me a lot, way more than I anticipated going into this movie at all. And it's near the end, after Neil and John David Washington, or the protagonist, I guess, and Ives, the character played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, the guy who is part of, like... I forget, like, that's two people that went in. Like, when the protagonist and Ives went in. Anyway, when they've diffused the algorithm or whatever you want to call it, and Neil is saying how their friendship is ending and how you have a future in the past and all of the complexity of that moment, he says something. What's done is done. And then I can't remember the rest word for word. But something along the line, it's not a reason to be complacent. Like, we still have the ability to be proactive. And... if you are a long-time listener of the Basement Binge, we've been absent for a really, really long time, and it's been really difficult. Part of that has been just the difficulty of a summer and three individuals trying to work together, but the biggest difficulty has been my own shortcomings, my own infirmities, if you will, imperfections, especially with my more recent... my more recent encounter, struggle, I'll be honest, my more recent struggle with mental health. And there's this line of a song that I love, that my wife and I love, by Lav, or Lav, however you say his name. The song is called Sad Forever. And there's one particular lyric that I love where he says, "Lately, I've been in the backseat to my own life, trying to take control, but I don't know how to." And it kind of goes on, like, he doesn't want to be sad forever. He doesn't want to wake up and wonder, what am I doing this for? I don't want to be medicated. I don't want to go through that war. I don't want to be sad anymore. And I really have felt, recently it's been a lot more positive. But previous to this, and one of the reasons it caused that absence to be with our episodes is because I really felt like I was in the backseat to my own life, to my own mental health. My mental health negatively was driving me to places I didn't want to go. And I kind of felt an inability to change any of that, an inability to improve on it or take control by any means. You know, that my choices in the past now were leading to negative habits or negative consequences or whatever, that there was this cycle that I got myself into that I was going to be in and was going to be in a grind. So with that in mind, I love what he said, that what's done is done. It's not a reason to be complacent. And it kind of just gave me like an oomph to keep trying and to keep going. And what's done is done, but that doesn't have to change what is going to happen. And whether we're moving backwards or forwards in time, we still have the ability to act. We still have the ability to empower change. And to get away from the complexity of the movies and inverting yourself and just talking in a more realistic way in our own lives, sometimes things can feel like a little dark and a little impossible to escape because of the cycle that those choices and bad habits and addictions, maybe if we want to throw that word in there, can cause. There's never a reason to be complacent because there's always an ability to keep working and to keep changing things and to keep improving. So that was my takeaway. I loved it. And I really love this movie just because it was a great action movie and a great movie directed by Christopher Nolan. And the concept was cool. And maybe there's some truth in it, that there is an emotion and the villain has no motivations, but I don't really care about any of that because of the experience that I had in trying to understand and watch a great action movie with a cool concept of inverting yourself and moving backwards and like trying to understand that. I just loved it. So, yeah, really enjoyed this movie. Gotta say, it was a ton of fun. So, yeah, thanks for listening to The Basement Binge. We appreciate you guys. If you're new here, we would love it if you could subscribe. I apologize earlier in the episode for being gone for so long, but we're back, and we're back consistently now. So there's definitely going to be more episodes coming out beyond this. Episodes we've recorded that I haven't edited, new movies coming out, older movies that we're going to review, all these things in the works. So definitely subscribe for more episodes coming if you enjoyed this one at all. And then hopefully when you listen again, the other two hosts will be here as well, not tri-hosts as we call ourselves, not just myself. So yeah, subscribe. We'd appreciate it. If you also liked it, share it with someone else who enjoyed this movie or didn't enjoy the movie, and maybe I can convince them otherwise, or I can do the speaking for you, whatever. Just, we'd appreciate it if you could share it. That helps us out a ton. Something else that really helps us that we haven't really asked for, but I'd like to, is if you could leave us a review either on Apple Podcasts or any podcast listening device, but especially Podchaser. You can just go to podchaser.com and search for The Basement Binge. It's also going to be linked in the show notes. If you could leave a review there of this podcast or our podcast in general, I'd love it. You could give us comments, reviews. Let us know if you like the individual format. Let us know if you didn't. Tell me if you disagreed or didn't. Connect with us on social media, Letterboxd, all those things linked in the description. We'd really, really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you guys again for listening. If you like this episode and want more of The Basement Binge, and want to listen, I'm going to suggest our Mad Max re-review. It was one just done individually by me. Mad Max Fury Road was one of the first movies reviewed, and I didn't feel adequate about what I had to say. So later, like months later, I went and re-reviewed it. Go check that out. It's, again, a solo episode by me. But if you like this one, hopefully you'll like that one. If you watched the movie Tenet and are now looking for more movies to watch, the one that I recommended earlier in the episode I recorded, and now I'm re-recording, was Mouse Hunt. It has nothing to do with the movie Tenet, but just came to mind when I was looking for a recommendation. It's from like 1997. It's like a comedy that's just hilarious that someone gave me for my birthday once, and my brother and I love it because it's just funny. Yeah, so Mouse Hunt, go check it out if you're looking for something to watch. We again appreciate you guys listening to The Basement Binge. Please subscribe, share it with all your friends, review us, all those things. We appreciate you listening, of course. That's all for now. Ciao, ciao.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.